Welcome to our teaching for today. Please be patient with our audio. The Torah portion for this week is Bo. Bo means, enter. Moshe and Aharon are told by God to ask Pharaoh how much longer will he not submit to God and not let his people go? That is a good question to ask ourselves. Is there any place in our life where we are not submitting to God? I would like to begin today by talking about not getting confused with our understanding of the Bible. A lot of confusion comes from those who teach wrong theology or that practice ritual that is not commanded by God. This could take a lot of explaining, but I will try to keep it simple. I would like to address the issue of whether those who say they believe in God, believe in the God of the Bible. There are religious people and non-religious people who say they believe in God. Those who believe in the true God do what he says. For example, it says in the Bible we are not to commit murder. Some Muslims have murdered and raped people and cut off the heads of innocent babies. I even heard that some Muslims have called home from the places where they committed murder and bragged about it. It is easy to understand that these people do not believe in the true God and the God of the Bible. Those in history that committed murder for their God were not believers in the true God. People who become detached from the truths of the Bible are not true believers in the Bible and God. People sometimes argue that religious people cause wars and tremendous pain in this world, but these people are not true followers of the God of the Bible. As societies and people become more and more detached from following the Bible, the chances increase that they are not followers of God even if they say they are. It makes sense that those who do not follow God and believe in the God of the Bible commit terrible atrocities, murder, and cause terrible pain to mankind in this world. The atheist and socialist countries of the 20th century who do not believe in God murdered some 101 million of their own people. That does not include all the people who died because of the wars they were involved in. As churches get away from the teachings of the Bible, they are not true believers in God. It is important that we stay rooted in God's commandments and the Bible and understand the Bible properly. There are different ways that wrong beliefs are developed and then are kept being taught. There are wrong beliefs that are passed down from generation to generation. Some belief systems understand the scriptures by applying their own special understanding of the scriptures to the Bible. People will take scriptures out of their context or their Jewish context. Some do not understand the idioms used in the Bible. People will share a scripture out of context to prove their wrong point. Some do not accept the whole Bible but instead overlook scriptures that do not agree with what they already believe. People will misunderstand the scriptures. People do not understand the cultural issues or Jewish issues. People have problems with understanding the translation properly. These are a few of the frequent problems I have encountered with understanding the Bible properly. We talk about these things because we want truth and to be open to the truth. We want people to find truth. There are wrong beliefs that are passed down from generation to generation. This should be obvious to most people. Why are there so many versions of Christianity? It is because someone came up with an idea and began teaching their version of what they think the Bible is saying. Or perhaps they incorporated their own ritual or even pagan practice into their beliefs. Not everyone can be right. Some people can be very convincing. There may be some truth to what they are sharing, or what they share may be appealing. But their wrong teachings and half-truths are leading people down the wrong path. Perhaps the most glaring thing that many Christians believe in is the fake feasts of Christianity that are not in the Bible. Leviticus 23:2 NKJV says, "The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." First of all, God says the feasts that are given in the scriptures are feasts of the Lord. So, the feasts in the Bible are God's feasts. Next, God repeats himself and says they are my feasts. So, here is the big question. What are God's feasts? They are listed in the Bible right there in Leviticus chapter 23. It is that easy. So, who keeps God's feasts? Some Christians have realized that they are keeping feasts like Christmas and Easter that are not in the Bible. Christmas and Easter are not in the Bible or in the manuscripts either. Some have decided to keep God's biblical feasts, but at this time they are in the minority. I hope that will change and people will begin to keep the relevant biblical feasts throughout the year that help us to revolve our life around the God of the Bible. Also, Christmas is not when Yeshua was born. The inns were full in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is near Jerusalem. People would go up to Jerusalem for God's feasts, and that is when the inns would be full. So, Yeshua had to be born around a biblical feast. Some believe Yeshua was born on Yom Teruah, which is also called Rosh Hashanah, but some believe he was born on Sukkot. Yom Teruah means day of shouting or blasting. So, the angels were shouting, as recorded in the Bible, and the trumpets were blowing announcing the birth of Yeshua on the year Yeshua was born. The trumpets are blown for the feast of Yom Teruah. Also, on Sukkot, the shepherds would not be working because it is a commanded day of rest. It says in the Bible they were working. But when the trumpets sounded, the shepherds stopped working. The sounding of the trumpets would have signaled that the feast of Yom Teruah had begun. It is then that they went to see where Yeshua was born, as it is recorded in the Bible. Easter refers to the bare-breasted goddess of fertility. When people say Happy Easter, they are actually saying, you know what, how sad. People can easily keep the biblical feast of Passover and celebrate the resurrection of Yeshua at Passover. In fact, Yeshua died at the time the Passover lambs were being slaughtered. Yohanan called Yeshua in John 1:29 NKJV, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There are a lot of things that have been passed down to us that were part of pagan Christianity as well as other wrong teaching. When people wish me a Merry Christmas, I say Happy Birth of Jesus. When they wish me a Happy Easter, I respond with Happy Resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate the resurrection on Passover. We celebrate the birth of Yeshua on Yom Teruah. The birth of Yeshua is not a commanded holy day, but Passover is. Some belief systems understand the scriptures by applying their own special understanding of the scriptures to the Bible. That can take a form of the faith doctrine, eternal security, what is doctrine in the Bible, the prosperity gospel, or over-interest in prophecy, and many more. Faith doctrine says that we are saved by faith and our whole relationship with God is by faith. While faith is important, their system of theology has to ignore a lot of scriptures that tell us that our relationship with God involves other things. James 2:19-20 NKJV says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? They will say that if you believe you will keep God's commandments. Keeping God's commandments is just as important as faith though." 1 John 2:3-4 NKJV says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Those who believe in eternal security or eternal life through belief in the Messiah are one of those who incorrectly say that it is only by faith. Also, those who receive the Holy Spirit sometimes automatically think they have eternal life. So, some think we are okay with God only by faith or only by the Holy Spirit, or by what religion we belong to, or by depriving oneself, etc. There are also religions that think that way. Shaul goes on to say a number of times that those who live a life of sin will not be in God's future kingdom, so that also negates the idea of those who say they are okay with God for various reasons other than actually being a follower of God and the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 NKJV says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." This is a short list. Rabbis would make short lists to represent long lists. That is why we have different lists. Where are those who live in sin going? Here is an example of another short list. Revelation 21:8 NKJV says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The Bible says there is a hell, a lake of fire. The Bible says that God's commandments are doctrine, so those who say otherwise are teaching wrong doctrine. The Torah contains God's commandments, and Yeshua also gave us the command for believers to love one another. Proverbs 4:2 NKJV says, "For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law." The law in the Bible is doctrine. The prosperity gospel teaches that believers are prosperous. Shaul says otherwise. Being healthy, wealthy, and wise does not mean we are destined for eternal glory. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29 NKJV says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." There are successful people who believe in God, but being successful is not necessarily a sign they are a true believer. There are probably more good and godly people who are needy than those who are wealthy. That is what Shaul just said. The special doctrine of those that put an emphasis on prophecy or other things often become obsessed with those things. I remember a time when some people were going to some churches just so they could get a word from God instead of to learn and grow spiritually. So, there are many ways that a wrong special understanding can cause us to be confused spiritually. People will take scriptures out of their context or their Jewish context. Some scriptures can be understood without their general context. Others must be understood within their context, and some must be understood within the context of Judaism or culture. For example, Shaul said in Romans 3:31 NKJV, "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." This scripture clearly says that the law is not done away, and Shaul qualifies that elsewhere by saying that those who live in sin will not be in God's future kingdom. Back in Yeshua's time and Shaul's time, many people thought they were in relationship with God by only keeping laws or rituals instead of believing in God. Shaul had to correct that idea in his letters, and Yaakov told us that it is not just by faith but by faith and works. Romans 2:23 NKJV says, "You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law?" So, people dishonor God when they break the law. Shaul is trying to explain in his letters that it is important to have faith and also believe in the Messiah Yeshua. We are to believe in the Messiah Yeshua. In Romans 10, Shaul makes several points for faith in Yeshua. In verse 1, Shaul, Paul, expresses a deep desire for Israel. In verse 2, Israel has zeal, but needs to know more. In verse 3, God has a way to help Israel to be righteous. Righteous means to live right. In verse 4, the Messiah will help us to live right, a better understanding of the verse. In verses 5-8, uses a Jewish comparison with Deuteronomy 30:11-16, the Messiah is here, believe in Him. In verses 9-10, the Messiah is Yeshua, He is both God and Messiah who was raised from the dead. In verses 11, says they will not be humiliated for believing in the Messiah. In verse 13, all who call on Him will be delivered, a reference to Joel 3:5. In verse 14, trust in the Messiah. In verse 15, you've now heard about the Messiah, so believe. In verse 16, this is the announcement to you about the Messiah, so believe. In verse 17, again they have heard, so they should trust in the Messiah. In verses 18-21, and 11-5, not all have believed, but as in the past, some have endured and believed. All have the choice to believe, that has always been God's way. In verse 11-1, God has not cast away Israel. In Romans 10:4, Christ refers to Messiah, and can be translated goal as in other places in the Bible, and law could be translated as Torah. Therefore, Romans 10:4 could be translated, the Messiah is the purpose, the goal, of the Torah toward, eis in the Greek, righteousness. One of the key words is eis in the verse, which means toward something. In this case, toward righteousness should be understood as to live right, keep the law. Deuteronomy 6:17-18 NKJV says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Keeping God's good commandments helps us in life. How do you live right? By keeping God's commandments. Yohanan says that not keeping the law is sin and of the devil. 1 John 3:4 NJKV says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. He goes on to say in verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Those who are teaching that the law is done away are of the devil according to John. People will attach wrong meanings to expressions also called idioms. In baseball, if a person heads home, they are scoring a point not going to their house. So, people will teach wrong meanings based on their faulty understanding of the Bible. People will share scriptures out of context and teach wrong doctrine. For example, the Bible says there is no God. Psalms 14:1 NKJV says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none who does good. The expression fool is an idiom referring to unbelievers. It is unbelievers who are corrupt. When Shaul quotes this in the New Testament portion, he wants people to be humble and accept the Messiah. Being humble towards God and his commandments is a common teaching in Judaism. Some say it is impossible to do what is right. Perhaps this teaches people that they do not have to be sorry for their sin. The Bible teaches us we are to do what is right and not sin. It is possible to do what is right. Genesis 6:9 NKJV says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Genesis 26:5 NKJV says, Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham kept God's commandments, and Yaakov uses Abraham as an example. James 2:22-24 NKJV says, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. People will share scriptures out of context to prove their point, and this is a big one. Some do not accept the whole Bible but instead overlook scriptures that do not agree with what they already believe. Many do not believe in keeping God's commandments. Keeping God's right and good commandments makes us a friend with God. They willfully misunderstand the scriptures, refuse to understand the cultural and Jewish issues, and also the problems with some of the translations. Why do we have different translations if they are all okay translations? They will say there is nothing wrong with their understanding of the translation, or with the translations, or with the manuscripts, and say things like, how dare you bring that up? How are we supposed to find truth if we are not allowed to seek truth? A lot more can be written about the confusion that is caused by wrong short-sighted teaching. Do we worship the things of this world or God? What things in life do we hold near and dear? Church, country, children, what we own. While these can be important in life, they are not to be worshipped. A lot of people make their life all about some of these things. Of course, our lives are not to revolve around doing evil. That would be tragic for a number of reasons. One of those is not just a separation from God, but eternity in the lake of fire. 1 John 2:15-17 NKJV says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It is not worldly things that need to drive us in life and not so much the physical, because this present world is passing away. Kepha puts it in good perspective. We need to be a holy people while waiting for the new heavens and earth. 2 Peter 3:10-13 NKJV says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." We need to know the truths of the Bible and not mistaken versions of so-called truth. There is a lot to learn and know and grow in, and we have to have the drive to seek truth and want truth and not settle for half-truth. Acts 17:11 NKJV says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Remember, there was no New Testament at the time, so they were basing their beliefs on the Old Testament scriptures. A proper understanding of the Old Testament scriptures is something that the modern Christian church seems to avoid. They say they have a better understanding of the Bible than the early believers, who base their beliefs on the Old Testament portion of scriptures. It makes sense that many in the modern Christian church would contradict Yeshua's teachings and say Yeshua did away with the law. Did Yeshua really do away with the law? Has heaven and earth passed away? Yeshua said in Matthew 5:17-19 NKJV, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Yeshua did not come to do away with the law. Nothing will be done away until heaven and earth passes away. I believe in Yeshua and not in these modern false teachers. What are we looking for spiritually? Are we looking just to hear some things that will tickle our ears? 2 Timothy 4:3-4 NKJV says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables." Are we seeking the thrills of the prophetic? The prophetic is not a circus act or a show. The prophetic is a real gifting associated with the Holy Spirit that is mostly to encourage us. The prophetic is not all about the future, but sometimes can give us warnings. A lot of the time the warnings come in the form of encouragement so that we will not fall into sin. 1 Corinthians 14:3 NKJV says, "He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So, the prophetic is for edification, to build us up, for encouragement, and to give us comfort and peace. What we really need in life is help with God's word and encouragement to do what is right and good. I find it remarkable that people think that the Old Testament portion has been done away with and then use the scriptures in the Old Testament portion like it has not been done away with. Which is it? Learn and grow in doctrine. Proverbs 4:2 NKJV says, "For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law." Shaul tells Timothy that the Old Testament scriptures are good for doctrine, reproof, and correction. The scriptures that Timothy learned were from the Old Testament portion, from his Jewish mother. Acts 16:1 NKJV says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed." Shaul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14-15 NKJV, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." Now Shaul tells us what the Scriptures from the Old Testament portion are for. 2 Timothy 3:16-4-1 NKJV says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. This does not sound like the Old Testament portion has been done away with. By context, it is saying we will be judged by the commandments in the Old Testament portion. We need help with true salvation and being rescued spiritually from a dark world that does not know God. Philippians 2:14-16 NKJV says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." We are to hold fast to the words of life. Proverbs 4:20-23 NKJV says, "Give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Hold fast the words of life, they give life to those who keep them. We need to understand the Bible properly how it was initially intended to be understood. So read the Bible and try to understand what it meant to the believers back in their time. If it seems to be saying we are not to keep God's commandments, try to figure out what it is saying within that context, or leave as for a future time of understanding. Do not be confused by people who have a made-up theology for understanding the Bible. Be committed to doing things God's way and make your spiritual life a priority. Learn biblical truth and do not listen to those who contradict Yeshua. We need to know the truths of the Bible and not mistaken versions of so-called truth. Stand strong spiritually against a dark world that does not know God and hold fast to the words of life through God and the Bible. We will not begin our Torah study. The Torah portion for this week is Bo. Bo means enter. Moshe and Aharon are told by God to ask Pharaoh, how much longer will he not submit to God and not let his people go? If someone said to me, "How much longer will you not submit to God?" it would sure get my attention. How about you? Will you submit to God, or will you keep doing things your own way? Some people contradict the Bible. At one time, I posed a question to someone. Did Yeshua really get rid of the law? Yeshua said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets," Matthew 5:17 NKJV. The fact that he had to say that speaks volumes prophetically. Many of these people were committed to keeping God's commandments, so, in a way, Yeshua didn't need to say that. Perhaps Yeshua meant that for people who needed to hear that the Old Testament commandments are not done away as some say. People sometimes reverse what Yeshua said. If someone told you that they believed in God, would you go around telling people that they didn't? That is the logic somehow people use to reverse what Yeshua said. Kepha said, "As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." 2 Peter 3:15-16 NKJV. What are they untaught in? There was no New Testament at the time. What kind of destruction do you think he is talking about? The unbelieving rabbis also change God's words. For example, the ancient rabbis considered Isaiah 53 to be about the Messiah. Even Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah is an obvious symbol of the Messiah providing a sacrifice for us, but they reverse the scriptures in order to manipulate what they refer to. God provided a sacrifice on Mount Moriah instead of Isaac. Some rabbis say Isaiah 53 is about Israel. Some Christians reframe the entire Old Testament portion without Israel being part of it, but the entire Old Testament is mostly about Israel. It seems people have gone overboard with their man-made interpretations. In this portion, we read about the amazing power of God and about Israel being set free so they could be free to keep God's commandments and serve God. In this era, we also have the opportunity to follow God if we so choose. The Egyptians and Pharaoh were trusting in their false gods, the river god, the frog god, etc. God brings the last three plagues on the Egyptians: locusts, darkness for 3 days, and death of the firstborn. In order for Israel to avoid their firstborn dying, they had to take a lamb or goat, kill it, put its blood on the lintel and doorposts, and roast it and eat it. From then on, they were to remember Pesach every year on the 14th of Nisan at twilight and eat unleavened bread for the next 7 days. It is important to remember. Before we get to the details in this portion, the portion begins by telling us to remember what God did. I used to think that remembering was just about what God did back then and what He is still doing today. I have seen many miracles and have been healed a number of times. We should also remember that God cares about us and has given His people His good commandments and the Holy Spirit to help us, see John 14:15-17. God also created everything that is and is therefore our provider. We learn about the goodness of God in both the Old Testament and New Testament portions. We need to remember to be thankful to God for all that He is and has done, and will do. On a side note, there is a movement in the United States to defame what our country has stood for. So, some are reframing our country as an evil entity, but nothing is further from the truth. We should remember that our country was made to bring freedom and equality to its people and has done a lot to promote freedom around the world. Although it is not a perfect country, it has changed by its own volition to create a better society. Our country is unlike some countries like that of communism that must subvert and kill anyone who objects to their philosophy of government. Our country and its people try to make changes to keep our country free and make it a better place to live. Note that the term equity to all means we are no different and so the people must conform or else. Equality means we are free to pursue good things and grow and mature, and we do not have to do it just the way the government tells us. Consider this. If we were all the same, then you would probably not object to a ditch digger doing surgery on you. We are equal, but we do not all have the same drive and abilities. Having freedom promotes the freedom to be innovative and so much more. In this portion, God made locusts to cover the land and Pharaoh's servants told Pharaoh that he should let Israel go. Pharaoh briefly considers letting Israel go, but he relented and didn't let them go. Then God told Moshe to raise his hand toward the sky and there was darkness over the land for 3 days. It says in John 3:19 that mankind has preferred darkness and sin. There was light in the homes of the Israelites though. Isn't that amazing? That's where the light was, it was with and in the believing community. Then Pharaoh said they could go, but they had to leave their flocks. Moshe said they needed them, and Pharaoh changed his mind and told Moshe that they couldn't go and if he saw Moshe's face again, he would die. Next is the death of the firstborn. It is then that Pharaoh lets Israel leave Egypt. The Israelites were to ask for their neighbors' gold and silver, and it says the people were favorably disposed toward Israel and considered Moshe a great man. Israel was to begin their year on the month of Nisan every year and on the 10th of Nisan they were to select a lamb without defect in its first year. They were to kill it at dusk on the 14th of Nisan and observe Pesach, Passover, from the evening of the 14th to the evening of the 21st and also eat no chametz, leavened bread. In order to keep God's feasts appropriately, we need to know the Jewish calendar and when the Jewish months begin. The real first day of Jewish months is the reappearance of the moon. The calendars of Israel are set calendars much like the pagan Gregorian calendar. Although they show Jewish months, they are often show God's feasts on the wrong day because of this. The Gregorian calendar is a pagan-oriented calendar. It does not help us to know when to observe God's feasts. The Gregorian calendar is a pagan-oriented calendar. Exodus 12:24 NKJV says, "And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever." The word observe means to keep or guard. It is the Hebrew word shamarch. We are to guard the Passover and God's feasts. They are God's moed dim, which means meetings. In Genesis 1:14, the word seasons is moed dim. The lights in the heavens are to determine our meeting times with God. In Leviticus 23:1, Moed Dim refers to God's feasts. Somo ed Dim in Genesis refers to God's feasts. The stars and moon were created in the sky for signs and so we could observe God's feasts. Shaul says we are to keep the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:8 NKJV says, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Shaul expects believers to be keeping the Passover and God's other meeting times that were instituted at creation. They were for believers in the past and are still relevant for believers. On the first and last days of unleavened bread, they were to have a holy assembly and they were to not work except to prepare food. There is typically a holy assembly for a Pesach meal. Exodus 12:16 NKJV says, "No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat that only may be prepared by you." It is okay to prepare food for our families on Shabbat, but we shouldn't do any cumbersome laborious celebrations on Shabbat. That would be work. Don't make unnecessary work for yourself on Shabbat. Also, they were to explain to their children that God spared their houses from the death of the firstborn. They observed what Moshe told them to do and they were to put the lamb or goat's blood on the doorposts and lintels. They were to roast it and eat it in a hurry with matzah. The blood on their homes was to mark the houses that God passes over and their firstborn would not die. That's why it is called the Passover. The Jews see salvation occurring on Pesach. Yeshua, whose name means salvation, gave himself on Pesach some 1,447 years later after the first Pesach for our salvation as well. Recent research places Israel leaving Egypt in 1447 BC and not 1,305 or 1285 BC. In the middle of the night, God allows the destroyer to kill all the firstborn of Egypt. The ancients considered the firstborn to be important. We see the believing line following true believers who followed God and not necessarily the firstborn. Being the firstborn doesn't make a person a believer. God plays no favorites, the Bible says. Believing and behaving like we believe pleases God. Authentic spiritual leaders follow God's commandments. Pharaoh tells Moshe, Aharon, and the people of Israel to leave along with their herds. The people of Egypt gave the Israelites silver and gold jewelry and clothing and gave them whatever they requested. Israel went up from Ramses to Sukkot with 600,000 men. It was a mixed crowd and they baked matzah from the dough they brought from Egypt. A mixed group refers to people from Egypt and other nations who joined Israel in faith as they left Egypt. The mixed group, see Exodus 12:38, was perhaps about 2 million people when women and children are included. They left so they could be set free from the sinful idolatry of the Egyptians and serve God. God dealt with the idols of Egypt, the Bible says in Exodus 12:12. They spent 430 years in Canaan and Egypt, 215 in Canaan and 215 in Egypt. Some say it is 210 and 220. It was 430 years to the day that they began their journey back to Canaan. God was giving them the land of Canaan because of the terrible sin in the land of the Canaanites. The pagans even sacrificed their children to the pagan gods. We should note that believers in Messiah are also a mixed group. It seems the giving of the Holy Spirit returned the Jews to their own roots, where all who accept the true God can be part of the believing community. A mixed group of Jews and Gentiles left Egypt and the Gentiles were assimilated into Israel. It had to be both Jews and Egyptians because of the number of people who left Egypt. It would have been impossible for the Israelites to have had that many offspring in only 215 years. Also, the Bible tells us Caleb was not Jewish but was assimilated into the tribe of Judah. His genealogy is in the Bible. Numbers 32:12 NKJV says, "Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, he became Israelite and he represented Judah as one of the 12 spies." The rabbis say mixed group means it was people who had different jobs. This obviously is not true. The rabbis also say Caleb was Jewish. This is obviously only true in the sense that he became Jewish. If people don't like what the Bible says, they change what it is saying or means. When we change God's word, we don't have God's word anymore. The believers in Messiah too are a mixed group of Jews and Gentiles who are set free from sin by the Messiah. We should remember that it is through God's hand and sacrifice we become heirs of salvation through Yeshua. Just as Israel was set free from sin to serve God, we are also set free to live for Jehovah. Yeshua's sacrificial act of humility resulted in God giving the Holy Spirit so that the power of God would work in us through the Holy Spirit and help us live right. The Pesach meal foreshadows the time when the Messiah Yeshua gave up his life sacrificially for us so that we can be forgiven of our sins, live by the power of God, and obtain eternal life through the help of God's commandments and the Messiah. Yeshua is referred to as God's Lamb by Yochanan the Immerser. The Jews back then clearly understood that the Messiah was to die for our sins as it prophesies in Isaiah 53 about the Messiah. Israel had lived in Canaan and Egypt for 430 years to the day. No foreigner was to eat the Pesach lamb, but a circumcised servant could, or a circumcised foreigner that lived in the land could. In John 1:29 CJB, it says that Yochanan identified Yeshua as our deliverer, as God's lamb. The next day, Yochanan saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, "Look! God's lamb." They also were not to break any bones of the Pesach lamb. That is also a fulfillment of prophecy about our righteous Messiah Yeshua, see Psalm 34:19-20. The soldiers pierced Yeshua instead of breaking his bones. John 19:33-34 NKJV says, "They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear." Zechariah 12:10 NKJV is a prophecy about Yeshua being pierced, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." Yeshua was from the line of David. The Greek manuscripts do not show Yeshua being from the line of David. Some of the Hebrew manuscripts of Matthew 1 put Yeshua in the line of David. Often, the Greek manuscripts were corrected by the Hebrew manuscripts. For example, the story about the woman caught in adultery was not in the Greek manuscripts for hundreds of years but was finally put in John 8 because it was in the Hebrew manuscripts. But not everything in the Greek manuscripts got corrected. Words in the Greek scriptures were changed to disassociate the Bible from its Jewishness or to even persecute the Jews. Yeshua was Jewish and so were all the early believers. We now have lots of Hebrew manuscripts of the New Testament portion. The reason there are more Greek manuscripts is because the Roman Empire secretly stole the early faith and made it illegal to have the Hebrew scriptures. They killed the early believers and burned the Hebrew manuscripts wherever they found them. Their Greek manuscripts were intended to change the scriptures in order to disassociate the scriptures from their Jewish context by changing the meaning of some scriptures and commanding the people not to keep God's feasts. There are still people today who wrongly oppose the Hebrew New Testament manuscripts. They are those who follow in the footsteps of those who killed the early believers and burned the Hebrew scriptures of the New Testament. Because of this, when you tell people about the Hebrew scriptures of the New Testament, make sure you qualify that by including the murder and persecution of the early believers, the replacement of true doctrine by the Roman Empire, and the burning of the Hebrew New Testament scriptures that took place by anti-Jewish so-called Christians. Those who commit murder in the name of their God do not follow what God says in the Bible and therefore they are not true Christians. There are still people today who oppose the Hebrew origins of the Bible and persecute those who believe in the true God. When Israel gets to their land, they were to set aside the firstborn men and animals and redeem the men. They could also redeem a donkey with a lamb. It would be a sign on their hand and frontlets between their eyes that God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. This reference to a sign on their hands and frontlets between their eyes was never meant to be physically done, as some say, by using a tefillin. That was something they were to do mentally. A phylactery or tefillin was not worn in Judaism until the 1st century AD. The Haftorah for Bo is Jeremiah 46:13-28. This portion begins by saying that Egypt will be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon are more than locusts, it says, obviously referring to one of the 10 plagues. Egypt will be handed over to Babylon. Israel also would have to suffer for their sin, but God promised to return Israel from their exile in Babylon. We see a God in this portion who wants us to do what is right, and he wants to restore his people. We see in the New Testament portion that God provides a way through the Messiah to also restore us to him. In addition to God's commandments, we need the Messiah and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us. Yeshua gave us the Torah, and he gave us another helper, the Holy Spirit. John 14:15-17 NKJV, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Commandments, implied commandments, permissions, and other concepts. We can also understand commandments are being implied from other scriptures in the Bible. There are other possible concepts than what is shared here. We are to remember what God did. Remembering helps us understand that God is a good, caring, and loving God who want what is best for us. Exodus 10:2. Moshe and Aharon were obedient to God's revelation. We too need to be obedient to what God tells us to do. The actual first Jewish month is the month of Nisan and not Tishri. Exodus 12:2. We are allowed to prepare food on God's days of rest. Exodus 12:16. The feast of Passover is to be kept along with the feast of unleavened bread. The 14th at dusk, just before the 15th of Nisan, is when the Passover ritual begins. Remember, in God's reckoning, the day begins in the evening. It says in Genesis 1:5, "Evening and the morning were the first day." The Passover meal extends into the 15th of Nisan, which begins the feast of unleavened bread and is a day of rest, and so is the seventh day, the 21st of Nisan. We are not to eat any leavened bread during this time. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is also referred to as the first through the seventh day of Passover by some. No foreigner or uncircumcised person is allowed to eat the Passover meal that begins on the 14th of Nisan. There is an exception to this. Adults who become believers do not have to be circumcised because of the danger involved with circumcision. The Torah teaches that we are to protect life, and that supersedes other commands, see Deuteronomy 22:4 or Luke 14:5. Those who do not protect life are Torah breakers. Male children are to still be circumcised. Galatians 5:11 NKJV says, "I still preach circumcision. No bones were to be broken, and no meat is to be removed from the house." Exodus 12:14-20, and verses 43-49. And Exodus 13:6-10. The firstborn of both man and animal is to be consecrated to God. Exodus 13:1, 12-16. In closing, let us say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:24-26. Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yehovah lift up his face upon you and give to you peace. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.